What's the point? June 12th, 1991.
Okay, your question was about, in Days of Wine and Roses, about going something along those lines.
Yeah, like, right?
Is that, and you said, is that good? This is very, very musical what you've done because of those great lines against the melody. Your second impulse when you said, or you could use this, is, it has to do with range and register, of course, you know, dropping it down. All of that is subservient to your impulses as an arranger. When you're sitting in, you have to decide when big stuff is going to happen and when small stuff is going to happen. So if you're playing it the first time through, you still might want to let some bigness creep in, even in the first chorus. You might not. You might have all small chords the whole first run through.
Yeah.
Myself, I usually hear that as being a large chord at that point because I hear the melody peaking. It hasn't, I don't believe it's done as high a trip upward as it does right at that point.
Right.
So I don't want the chords to thin out. I kind of want to go the other way. Unfortunately, the great voicings I would want just aren't physically with under the hand.
The other version I had, that's good, I like that. The other version I had was without the major seventh, major minor seventh, was just like this.
That's good.
And with
clever using your sixth finger, so to speak.
And then to get the B flat chord, I guess you could either just something like this.
You don't even need that. No over thumb needed.
But you could, I mean...
One could do the...
One could get that B-flat in somehow, some way.
Sure.
Depending on... the other one, I was just noticing it as...
You want a footstool?
No,
I notice your feet going...
No, I don't use a footstool.
Oh, okay.
So it's just...
You're just being a high energy.
Yeah. It's just that the line before, just something I figured out, just seeing, you know... I'm sure maybe you could do that bass line here.
Yeah, this is actually, the standard thing is this. So in this voice, this is standard. You added a chromatic tone, which makes sense.
I just remember you doing that in a couple other pieces. But then that might be a nice way to do it if you have a bass player and you don't want the small chord.
That's right.
If you want to do it a four-string solo all the way through.
Yeah. I'll play through it a little bit for you and we'll discuss it. Let's see. So we want... I would like to get the A in there. We talked about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that. Oh, yes.
I'm bringing the A with the ring. Instead of this, sometimes I'll play it.
Yeah, we worked on that chord the other day, I think.
Good.
With the seventh then?
Yeah, just flatten that out or use your thumb.
Like this?
I mean, anyway, there are three or four ways to
play. Oh, right.
Chord.
We did, yeah.
A bunch more ways.
Or this.
This is good, what you have here. You can do a suspended type of D chord, then an altered D if you like. Then you can play real clear, minor 7 flat 5 with extensions with a D bass. Sometimes I have to sacrifice a line because coming up to this one weakens this next chord. It needs to be on this tone. Some other variations on that when you come out of it. You can just come down and play this.
What was that one?
This is D11. It's just like this big one I played, but it's not quite as laden with overtones. D11 flat 9 is like playing the A minor 7 flat 5. This is the D.
Right.
Right.
Comes before the D.
No, that is the D.
Yeah. And then
the D arrives again.
What was that?
This is like D7 in a Bach type of arrangement.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. am I right here with a root?
There it is, four separate fingers, right.
And you just move the whole thing down?
Not quite. See, if you take this chord and you, if I move it down, it sounds like... It sounds like I'm changing key. If you, in the first chord, if you put an E flat or an F and an E flat to get those altered nines in the middle. Yeah. So if you have...
Okay. So the
of these little ones, because these don't thrill you enough anymore.
No.
I want your body language.
They're okay for
okay.
The first time.
They're great for feel, for like a West thing, but not for lead. If I play it that way, I'd use it. Because the feel is so important in that.
Right.
More than the vertical prettiness.
So whether to stay... Now, in the chart, in the music, it says... You know, it says ninth, it was unaltered. So could you play it unaltered? Is that kind of corny? Or?
No, it's not that.
Actually, they say this. They go like this. They have the...
Unaltered to the straight. That's a real good choice. That gives you sounds like if you suspend the four in the flat nine and you go...
So on the other hand, just strict down with it.
That's fine. You could do that.
Okay, just...
That's all those D7 variations or any dominant 7 variations are worth looking at when sheet music has it, because you might find out somebody had a good reason for writing it, and then other times it's just not a bad reason, other times it's just a mistake, and I mean there are all kinds of variations on it.
We were talking about this tune because we were talking about before how generally six chords are generally not playing dominance.
Say that again. Six chords are not.
Because I was showing you, I was showing you some 1/6-2/5s I worked out.
And six dominant chord. Yeah.
Right. It's not usually a natural 13 or a natural 9. Not
exposed,
usually.
Right? And especially exposed, but.
But this is a case where it's set up.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah. If the ninth is inside, there's very little problem. If it's exposed, it gives you that old-fashioned note. If you don't add any more color in it, I think we might have talked about that. Where it's the leading tone of the key. It's very happy and pretty. It's just not the current sound, what I'm saying. It's not a jazz sound.
So
it's more like an old show tune sound.
Right.
To make it sound more modern, let's take the key of B flat. So if somebody goes, I'll say B and C. So I need to put this chord in the middle of the board a little bit. So if somebody goes from 1 to 6 and goes, that's not E7, it's A7. It's like in an old kind of like happy strolling tune, right? The modern version is. You put the raised 11 and the 13 in there to update it if you need to. So it does work. It's not the norm, as we say. Exposed 13, that has to do with chromatic stuff. You just usually can't get away with that unless you treat it chromatically.
Right.
Meaning like, just to make sure it's on the table. It actually doesn't scare my ear right now because we did this other one. But normally I hear that and go, what happened?
So there has to be a good reason.
Yeah,
good composer reason to do it.
But if you bury either of those notes inside, usually you're fine.
Okay.
There's never a problem inside. It's just a question of taste then, what you want to hear.
But in this Days of Wine and Roses, doesn't proceeding with the E flat chord actually doesn't. It kind of softens it up, doesn't it? It kind of makes it like almost a key change in a way. Or something. I mean, it's just like, normally if you went...
No, this is fine. This is normal. If you hear a natural 9 in your ear, this certainly helps move things along.
Yeah, so that's
but it's
saying.
Not necessary.
Okay.
I mean, if it really still comes down to, do you want to hear this? I used to play this to avoid it. I was, for years I didn't want that old sound. Now I go the other way. I want to hear that. I don't hear enough of that. I'm always hearing everybody playing this.
They're already trying to alter the alteration.
Yeah.
You keep altering and altering stuff, won't it just come back to a major scale?
Yeah, if you double flat the third, usually. Yeah, I double flat the third.
It'll just come back to
natural nine. No, it doesn't work that way quite.
No.
If you modulate far enough, you come back home.
Okay.
Anyway, so we. This way, where you do four-note Lenny chime chords.
Lenny chime chords.
just any grabbing of four note chords that have a C on top, A on top, four, F major 9. That's avoiding the 5. It's not going 5-1. It's just 1-1.
Yeah.
Nobody will run out of the room if you don't put the 5 chord in.
No.
You could do different voices on that.
Per note?
Per note, yeah.
We did go over this. You did teach me this last week, which was very helpful.
The third step?
The third step. I mean, for this thing. That was very useful. I like that. And also this little, what is it? This,
this note down here too, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, how to do 2 5s. Go up, it's altered, go down. Go up 3, it's altered, go down 3, it's regular.
If it's minor, after you've done the altered, you go 2 whole steps up and you reach your 1 chord as well.
Right. Keep going, huh?
Yeah. In other words, like this is 2, this is 5, and here's 1 minor. Play F minor, just straight.
So you got F minor 6 up there, the honor sack of 5.
Yeah. Yeah, Perry Mason time, you know. You ever heard the Perry Mason theme?
Yeah, I can't recollect it, but I've watched the show.
It's got wild distances.
Was it 1 6 2 5 minor or something?
Yeah, it's got this melody that goes. It's really an amazing piece of writing because it sounds real, much like a district attorney.
It sounds black and white too.
Yeah,
that's just because
that's good. It sounds black and white. I like it. So again, back to this tune.
Okay, so that was that.
So we talked about enough ideas for this now. We'll move on. A lot of times I'm hearing this as like a half step thing.
No way. That's after the after you go. We went from A minor 7-5 to.
It's this root tone. So instead of going, just living on this D7 for so long.
Yeah.
So. Shoot. Right at that point.
And then go into the D, resolve the D.
Sometimes that'll clash melodically when you try to do the alternate 2-5. The normal 2-5 being A and D.
I'm getting it. Cool. Now,
there's one more melody note. We'll put the A in there. Now we change it from here on in. 2 E flats, suspended and regular.
Or.
Like with 4 voices. You gotta move quickly because there's 6 chords to get in the space now. Suspended and regular.
Okay, so.
Right, natural or flat, it doesn't matter. And then E flat minor to A flat 7. Because they lead you towards G minor. A flat 7.
But this is all happening within this one beat.
Yeah, you don't have, yeah. Uh-huh.
So E to the G minor.
Right, I don't know if the notes.
That's just and when they put the four minor in, right? It's really just four minor all the way. That flat seven chord is just kind of incidental.
Exactly. Very well put.
Could be there.
It's an auxiliary chord if you need it or want it.
Because this is actually going back to one, but the three substitute for one or whatever.
That's right.
Right. So
so when you hear sometime you can use relative major concepts instead of four minor.
Yeah.
Flat major stuff instead of D flat minor gives you the flat six chord, which is just like the four minor. And then it's got that. I think that's the right note.
That's it.
So you've got your all kinds of options here. If you like to hear parallel intervals, being a fan of Bartok, you might like it. So your eyes notice it. Yeah. Well, parallel intervals are real strong. Perfect interval. Perfect intervals in the bottom end of the guitar are real strong. Bottom end of anything. So when you have a very simple chord, E flat 7, another very simple chord, but you sometimes your ear picks up on the power in the bottom end. Instead of just playing straight voicing,
right?
But you can also voice it real smooth in four-way close. Whatever you decide to do there. Sometimes I'll play the full ninth chord and do this kind of thing. You just try to create a line going down while the melody goes up, right?
Yeah, regardless of.
When you hear this, right, now with chromatic in the other part, it's about splitting voices.
Right.
Yeah, this is one voice,
yeah.
But unison splits into two, because one goes down, one goes up.
Yeah.
Then this one's going to split in two. While this one comes down, this is going to go. One. This is if they're.
Coming out of that, are they like diatonic chords, or is it just incidental? I mean, you just do a chromatic line
incidental,
and a melody.
Incidental with the semblance of educatedness trying to guide it. If it
yeah.
turns into mush, you say, wait, this isn't going to work. It doesn't
right.
sound like I'm in the key anymore.
Yeah,
in other
so
words, you hear that this is a 2, a 5, a 1, a 4 minor, a 3 minor, a flat 3 minor, but in weird disguise, a 2 minor. I'm trying to get to the 2. So you run an experiment that leads you to a suitable bass note, meaning G minor, B flat, D, and an F, or G with an occasional C as an option too, the 11 in the bass chords. That will still sound all like G minor 7 if that's where we're headed. We're going. You might make a choice to not even arrive at G minor 7. I just like to keep some stock chords in the
right.
first chorus.
No. Then you get the.
I've got a paper with a lot of this written down that I'll hand you before you need to. Another way to treat a phrase like that is to go. Putting the secondary dominants or the five us.
Like A minor, G7. I didn't get it.
Okay. A minor. Next normal chord
is D minor.
So therefore, its approach chord is
E flat.
Well, that's half step. I'm just doing secondary five.
A seven. An A seventh over G.
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay, I was getting thrown off. Okay,
no problem. So D minor
over F.
Next normal chord and its approach chord.
G minor, and then it's supposed to be a G minor over F.
No, not yet.
Isn't that the part where
it's just G minor 7. It's just. That's, so we haven't gotten there. Mark, we didn't get to G minor yet.
Okay, D7.
Right, D7 approaches G minor. So we go A minor.
Sorry.
No problem. All my pizzits, you can get them off tape. These are just backup. Fun to throw the classical stuff in every now and then. Yeah, we'll see if it'll turn off by itself. You will hear it.
Oh, we'll hear a big click.
It'll make a big click, yeah.
Oh, that was so nice.
Well, thanks. let's run through it so you understand the thinking.
I know you're doing sevenths on the bass a lot, and the third on the G minor on the bass, and I saw the C on the bass for D and the F sharp on the bass.
The other D, right.
Another D. Going up to the G minor. After the G minor, I didn't know what the hell you were doing. My mind shut off.
I was trying to keep the meter in mind really strongly there. Obviously, that tells you how much time, of course, you have to put in the subs or not. Besides the ancient style that I started with, this that's 20s and stuff, you know, 30s.
Sounds a little classical here and there, though. I mean,
well, the first part was ancient, you know, the classical stuff. So if you want. Good technique, very good technique.
Less work, more gains. You know how it is.
You're doing fine. I don't worry about you. So that's another variation what I just did there. You'll be able to get it from the tape because I played all little chords.
I think my transcribing thing, I think I did more, right?
What I really wanted to do, I had in mind that I could get this on every change. Why didn't I? To study it more. I don't have that structure etched enough in my head, damn it. Anyway, moving forward. This is a typical option, too. You've got this note that can come up.
You came from A minor?
Yeah. Through E7 to A7.
A7.
Or A,
to
I should
D,
say.
Leading to A.
D minor, A7, 7 flat 9, D minor 7. This will lead to the G minor, or D7 will lead you to the G minor sus type chord.
So you can always use those little half step things.
I'm doing what you did earlier. You did it at the end of the tune. Chromatic, G minor, F sharp in the bass.
Time.
If somebody pays you $1,000 for every version of the first five bars of any song, you might, and they said you've got a year, you might be cranking out one a day, you know, at least.
$1,000 for each version?
Yeah, you might crank out a few a day, and you wouldn't run out of ideas. You would find ways to be creative.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
If somebody says, well, play me some new, you say, I don't know, I'm stuck, George, I can't play any other, you know. He wouldn't teach me over the rainbow, though. He had didn't want to work with that song because apparently he didn't get along with the woman who made it famous. So it was an interesting experience for me when I offered him, or asked him to teach me that. He said, I won't play that song. He's a terrific guy. He has his own funny ways. So,
so to get your left hand.
You got a great left hand. You're left-handed, aren't you?
Yes. But
you do wonderful. You do things I can't do. I've seen you stretch, do something I can't do.
I don't think so, but I mean, I just, I guess there is no answer. You just say you just keep playing the chords. I guess.
What am I doing that you can't?
No,
do?
Just something. Just getting to certain chords and making sure that they're all, you know, clean. I mean,
well, I have the same difficulties you do. Some chords are just tough. You just. Certain chords.
My fingers will actually, you know, touch other strings when they're not supposed to.
Let that be the worst of our problems in this world.
Bummer, right?
Well, everybody battles that on guitar. I mean, it's just not the easiest of instruments to touch and make things work on. But, you're doing great. I never worry about your technical end. I don't worry about anything with you, actually. So,
well,
I'm tickled that you come out for lessons. You don't need them. You're just here because you want some more ideas. But
I mean,
if somebody did the $1,000 a day routine, you'd have lots of ideas on this. Things would just start flying around, man. Even if you didn't know you knew them, you'd say, God, I guess I can do a lot more than I thought.
It's a matter of, I guess, spending time.
I'm just trying to save you time. In a sense, what I'm doing here is...
third hand cable.
Yeah, it's got knurls. So you can touch some strings and
like
not others.
Looks like a box
of
animal crackers.
It does, doesn't it? Which I haven't seen since I was a kid. Like, instead of playing D minor 7, here's a thought. Every time you see a minor 7 chord on a 2, and on a 6, maybe not so much on a 3, but on a 2 and on a 6, try a minor major 7 temporarily resolving to the minor 7. So instead of going, that's on the 6, you might go, right, we got to put a 9th in there too, just to make it interesting. It really sounds like if you freeze this chord, just open a time capsule with that. It sounds like A7 over D minor.
Right.
One of those Bach or Chopin. Those guys love those.
They would always do pedals like that.
To home, Jerusalem. you say, hey, wait a minute, that's the same as this, it just blows different. So suddenly, if you make this B string loud enough, then your line can switch strings. This tendency to always try to get the sharp 11 in, but we were just on the sharp 11 in a sense. So if I go right, which it sounds, you know what makes that work to my ear is the fact that this third string is so loud that your ear still follows that line, but gets the extra bonus of the sharp 11. But if it weren't for the guitar orchestrating it, it would sound like we just did this as much as we did this. And that's
so it might be an idea just to sound bad, it. Have a regular dominant.
Yeah, like when I did this the first time, it didn't bother me that I didn't have the raised 11. On the inside strings, playing the same note.
Your ear remembers it, doesn't it, kind of?
That too.
It's there.
Now, here's something, too. When you see these two fives, and God knows there are a number of them, to say the least, in these songs.
Yes.
Mark sits and plays an evening sometime. It'll happen, you know, where you play a 3 or 4 hour evening of solo guitar. And you might do 500 two fives by the end of the night if you added it up. Easy. So you come into... It's all that dead time, right? This is after... it's supposed to be a two. This is really... cause for dispiritedness if we don't take action at this point.
Ted, you mean action against 251.
We must make it. I'm so glad we have the extra hour today. I look up at the clock and I say, God, we're out of time.
Okay.
I say, we're not, we're just beginning.
What do you usually do when you have a lot of 2-5s and you're sick to death of them?
To play other chord changes. Reharmonize right there.
It's a good point.
Great, same thing you say.
No, I was saying, I noticed the way the tune ends with two bars of F. I mean, there's a point where you can put your 1-6-2-5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? On the last two bars.
Oh, yeah, those are turnaround situations.
That's, but we're not there yet.
This is what you're saying when you reach a 2-5, especially a whole bar of H, there are two extreme schools of action there. One is to put on your Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde mask and go screaming out into the night, throw up your hands and give it up. And say, I can't take it anymore. It's another 2-5. No matter how you voice it, it's just another 2-5. Or you're saying, sometimes you'll still be craving a 2. There are songs where I hit the 2 and I'm really thrilled that it's there. But generally, if you played a bunch of 2-5s already in that song, which we have, this one, then you need something else. So for instance, major triads built on those flatted degrees that are so delicious in the key, right? The expanded diatonic roots.
It looks like he has a clever recognition.
I thought maybe we'd discuss it.